often followed, and a memory came from nowhere at all. When was right? There were lots of places like the warehouse. There always are in every old city, no matter how valuable the building land is. Sometimes space just gets lost. A workshop is built, and then another beside it. Factories and storerooms and sheds and temporary lean-tos crawl towards one another, meet and merge. Spaces between outside walls are roofed with tar paper. Odd-shaped bits of ground are colonised by nailing up a bit of wall and cutting a doorway. Old doorways are masked by piles of lumber or new tool racks. The old men, who knew what was there, move on and die, just like the flies who punctuate the thick cobwebs on the grubby windows. Young men in this noisome world of whirring lathes and paint shops and cluttered workbenches don't have time to explore. And so there were spaces like this. A small warehouse with a crusted skylight that no fewer than four factory owners thought was owned by one of the other three, when they thought about it at all. In fact, each of them owned one wall, and certainly no one recalled who roofed the space. Beyond the walls, on all four sides, men and dwarfs bent iron, sawed planks, made string, and turned screws. But in here was a silence known only to rats. The air moved for the first time in years. Dust balls rolled across the floor. Little motes sparkled and spun in the light that forced its way down from the roof. In the surrounding area, invisible and subtle, matter began to move. It came from workmen's sandwiches and gutter dirt and pigeon feathers, an atom here, a molecule there, and streamed, unheeded, into the centre of the space. It spiralled. Eventually it became, after passing through some strange, ancient and horrible shapes, Lady Lejeune. She staggered, but managed to stay upright. Other auditors also appeared, and as they did so, it seemed that they had never really not been there. The dead greyness of the light merely took on shapes. They emerged like ships from a fog. You stared at the fog, and suddenly part of the fog was hull that had been there all along, and now there was nothing for it but to race for the lifeboats. Lady Lejeune said, "I cannot keep doing this, it is too painful." One said, "Ah, can you tell us what pain is like? We have often wondered." "No, no, I don't think I can. It is a body thing. It is not pleasant. From now on, I will retain the body." One said, "That could be dangerous." Lady Lejeune shrugged. "We have been through that before. It's only a matter of appearance," she said. "And it is remarkable how much easier it is to deal with humans in this form." One said, "You shrugged. And you are talking with your mouth. A hole for food and air."
"Yes, it is remarkable, isn't it?"
Lady Lejeune's body found an old crate, pulled it over and sat on it. She hardly had to think about muscle movements at all. One said,
"You aren't eating, are you?"
"As yet, no."
One said, "As yet? That raises the whole dreadful subject of orifices."
One said,
"And how did you learn to shrug?"
"It comes with the body," said her ladyship. "We never realised this, did we? Most of the things it does, it appears to do automatically. Standing upright takes no effort whatsoever. The whole business gets easier every time."
The body shifted position slightly and crossed its legs. Amazing, she thought. It did it to be comfortable. I didn't have to think about it at all. We never guessed.
One said, "There will be questions."
The auditors hated questions. They hated them almost as much as they hated decisions, and they hated decisions almost as much as they hated the idea of the individual personality. But what they hated most was things moving around randomly.
"Believe me, everything will be fine," said Lady Lejeune. "We will not be breaking any of the rules after all. All that will happen is that time will stop. Everything thereafter will be neat, alive but not moving, tidy."
One said, "And we can get the filing finished."
"Exactly," said Lady Lejeune. "And he wants to do it. That is the strange thing. He hardly thinks about the consequences."
One said, "Splendid."